And welcome to Evil Avatar Radio, episode number 120, coming to you live from really bad weather that we've got going on. We've been through, it went to a hurricane level, didn't it? Or was it still a tropical storm?
Yeah, I think it was tropical storm, it's tropical depression at the moment.
Well, it's made everything completely wet, and it gave your Xbox a red ring.
Yeah,
James.
Sure, the storm. Sure it did.
Might as well blame it on that. Well, listen, let's go straight to the line. We got a big show tonight. We got Dennis Dyack on the phone. He's on the phone right now, and we've also got Robert Koo coming in the second hour to talk to us about PAX. It is PAX week, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But let's not keep Dennis waiting. Dennis, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Doing fine. How are you?
We're making it through the weather and through everything else is going on, but we're making it.
Good luck, and I'm sorry to hear about the bad weather, and I hope hope it's not too severe.
Well, for some of us during the bad weather, your games kept us company.
Oh, good. I'm glad you think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
I can hear the rain through my headphones coming on the roof. We're upstairs in the building that the station's located in. It's at the top of the building, basically. And so we can hear the rain hitting on the roof there. But anyway, we've really enjoyed the game. I know that it's been through some stuff. You know,
sure.
we've read those reviews and that sort of thing. Some of them, most of them, actually, I'm not really agreeable with, because pretty much here we've all enjoyed the game, actually.
I'm glad to hear that. And you know, I guess my comment is, if you read the forums... Mm-hmm. Which I do, and read the gamers who are playing the game.
Well, you don't read NeoGAF anymore, but that's fine, because, you know.
But, gamers seem to be enjoying it, and I've been playing myself quite a bit. I put in a good 40 hours. I've got a 50-level defender.
Can I co-op with you?
Oh, I've got you beat, man. I put in 65.
65? Oh, how's that possible? Wait a minute.
Man, 65 hours, not level 65.
No. Oh, 65 hours. Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, but man, the Defender is quite awesome, I have to say.
I went Commando.
It's really interesting because the classes are all so different, and once you get to the higher levels, they play so differently, and playing online with people, and so first of all, answer the first question, definitely let's play online sometime, but I don't want to give my gamer tag out to the public. But let's hook up after through emails and stuff.
Definitely.
The classes are so varied, like, as you know, I've played the game a ton, obviously working on it, but just seeing the amount of time that people have put in, when we first started playing, a couple of our guys got these things called green discs. And they're actually the discs that come out before manufacturing.
Uh-huh.
And so they were playing the game about a week or so before the game came out, and they hit their gamer tags. And then once the game was out, they opened them up. And I was a little worried. I was like, I don't know, you know, if we should have let them do that, because then maybe they'll dominate the leaderboards for, you know, like several weeks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were off the leaderboards within a day.
Oh, wow.
And they played the game. And these are people who made the game. And essentially they're off the leaderboards within a day, and now they're not even, like, in the top 100. And I'm looking at them going, you guys, what are you doing? And so now they're playing on the weekend, trying to catch up. It's pretty funny.
Oh, man. It's, you know, like I said, it's a great game. I'm glad a demo was released.
Yeah.
The demo really sold me on this, because obviously, you know, we've read the history of what this game's gone through, and you know, the early plays that some of the websites have had. You know, we've read their interpretations, but to be able to do this, obviously, without actually purchasing the game yet, is a wonderful thing. The more demos, the better for me to make my decision on things. And this, you know, this made my decision.
Oh, I'm glad you think so. I think this really propelled us into the marketplace. Really, you know, we had over a million downloads, and the feedback was largely positive, which is what you want. And we've been saying it for a while that we think demos are good.
Yeah.
Because it gives people a very realistic expectation of what they're going to get, and it allows them to actually interact in a medium that's interactive. You know, so we were very, very, very happy that we made that decision and followed it through to the end. So.
Now, I met you at E3,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, E3 obviously has undergone changes as well. How do you feel about the changes? I mean, what do you think about E3? So ask somebody who, you know, you were the guys that would take your games to these things, E3, when it was a big thing, and show it off to basically the public. But now it's so reduced, which, from what I understand, a lot of the developers and publishers were asking for, was that, too, you know, you were kind of wasting your load at the early of the year, and now it's in the middle of the year, but it's with less people, or maybe not the right people. Well, what do you think?
So if I'm repeating myself, I think you know this is on the radio, so no one's heard this before except for you and I. If I repeat myself, I'm sorry, but
go ahead.
I really think that E3 now reminds me a lot of Hollywood, and what I mean by that is I've been to Hollywood a lot now, but the first time I ever went to LA to do some voice recording sessions for Legacy of Kain, I think it was. This goes way back, you know.
Favorite among us, by the way.
Oh, thanks, thanks. Yes. We're very proud of that game.
Oh man, so you know,
and by the way, we still use some of the same voice actors in Legacy Kain as we did in Two-Human for Eternal Darkness. They're all the same, and yeah, actually shared with the Metal Gear Solid guys as well. It's pretty funny. But anyway, when I went to LA, I went and I was very excited to see what Hollywood was. So when I went down to Hollywood and I looked around, I was like, the only thing that exists in Hollywood is that sign on the mountain.
Yeah,
and the rest of it is just. Doesn't really, there's a few studios, but they're all barred up, and there's barbed wires everywhere. There's, like, bars on windows and stuff. And so the Hollywood that people perceive through Entertainment Tonight does not actually exist.
No, it doesn't. I found that out myself, too.
Yeah, and so E3, because it was smaller, I actually felt I had higher quality interviews with the press, and I saw more media coverage that was of higher quality by everyone, except the show was probably 100 times smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gotten to the point of E3, and if that's what E3 is going to turn into, what Hollywood is, and a promotional vehicle for the industry in that sense, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And if it means that a lot less money is spent, but at the same time it's all spent on promotion, I think that's a really good direction to go in. You know, I it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because a lot of entertainment industries don't do this kind of thing. At least I don't think they have kind of a show like that. And if it starts turning into more of just that's the perception, and the media and the developers and the publishers get into this groove where, you know, there's more like press junkets, I'm totally fine with that too. So overall, I will say the people that I met at this year's E3 when we talked and all the other interviews I had, people were much more relaxed. It was not insane. There was a few E3s where I had an interview every 15 minutes for 3 days straight.
Ugh.
And that is, and when there's 5,000 games being shown, I don't care what anyone says. You have a really, really hard time of getting anything that is meaningful, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
So I think it's, if anything, it's better. So, you know, that's my opinion. So.
Okay. No, that's fine. I was just curious as to what someone, you know, who I guess E3 is for, basically, for you guys. I mean, I know the media go to it, but you guys have to be there in order to give something to them.
Wait, yep.
What somebody on the other side thought, basically.
Yeah, I think it's a common consensus, though I'm not sure. At least at some of the points that I talk to, but it's really tough because there's in some ways there's a lot of hard feelings towards E3 simply because how much work has to go into it for a demo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and that's a whole other story, and that's, you know, talked enough about that, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, Two-Human released last week, and so far, how do you feel about the reception that it's gotten?
I couldn't be happier, really. You know, from a standpoint of logging in, playing the game, talking to people what they think, seeing that, like, I put it in on the weekend, finding out that there were a lot of people at level 50, and I felt I had to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there were a lot of concerns. Like, when you put something out, we have this mantra at Silicon Knights, and the mantra is, if you're going to make a game that you want to play yourself, and if you do that, you'll know you at least pleased one person. Because in entertainment, you have no idea when you put something out there whether it's going to be good or not. And I can wholeheartedly say that myself and other people at Silicon Knights are playing this game like crazy still. And after any kind of development cycle, anyone in the industry will tell you, if you're still playing your game after it's done, that's some pretty serious love. And I just love it. And, you know, we've gotten so many emails. I've gotten emails from people saying they played the game for 17 hours straight. I've had a couple of people say they finished the game from beginning to end. They started at like 8 in the morning, didn't finish till 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I haven't done that in a game in such a long time. And, you know, I know there's a lot of noise out there, but I can tell you as a creator, nothing is more meaningful than that when someone writing you and telling you that. And, you know, so it's like, wow, I pleased more than myself. That's great.
Well, part of the reason I believe that is you guys stuck some addictive juice in there or something, because it's one of those things where you just kind of, it's like, okay, I'll go a little bit further. I'll stop in this room, you know? You go to the next room. I'll stop after this. And you just kind of keep going with it because, you know, you're next, you're close to that level, or maybe there's, you know, one of the monsters or whatever those things are, that you can, because those are actually fun fights.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, those are fun fights, but yeah, so you just kind of want to keep going and not really stop, and then of course the time sort of gets away from you.
Well, it's interesting, and you know, a couple things that I think are helping with that. We've got a whole pile of ideas, and I'll say this right now: we have so much that we want to improve for the sequels and stuff like that, and there's just a whole plethora of things that we want to do for it. But a couple things that we did that's really interesting, and I think it means we've done it right because not too many people are commenting on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no load times.
That's right, there isn't.
And the other thing is, you know, and I know some people have complained about this a lot, but I disagree, and I think it's working really well, where people are saying there's no penalty for death. And we have this sort of other mantra that we've been thinking about this a lot. When you're playing a game and you die, and it asks you the question, do you want to continue?
Mm-hmm.
Some people just might say, no, I don't, and I'm done. And we just allow you to just keep going and going and going. Now, mind you, I think in some ways it's deceptively too hard, because once you understand the intricacies of the system and the combo level and the armor being damaged and all that, if you die repeatedly over and over again, you can dig yourself into such a hole where it's really hard to get out.
Yeah, I was about to say, whoever said there's no penalty for death obviously has not died with level 50 armor on, because I just dropped like a million.
Oh, yeah.
And bounty, like, repairing all my stuff up. It was not pleasant.
You know,
that's fine for me, because, you know, I shouldn't have been an idiot.
Well, that's really funny, because during the focus test internally with Microsoft and us, we were really concerned that a penalty was too steep. And the, you know, at first, and there's another thing, a rumor I want to dispel.
Yeah.
People think that we're doing loading in the background with the Valkyrie sequence. We are not doing any loading. That was specifically done for co-op. So you're out for, I think it's like 20 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, and you don't earn any whatever XP, I guess.
Items, when
you're,
XP,
yeah.
Loot drops, and
yeah.
Your friend. Okay, so when you're playing co-op,
I had to tell him to stop before he. I was like, no, just run around for a little bit until I come back.
You don't want someone killing a boss when you're dead.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Track zero.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, we have a lot of shared things, like the first skill is shared, all the spider skills are shared, and all the battle cries are shared.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're utilizing all your skills, once you guys at level 50, you get it. So you've got to use your battle cries, and you've got to use your spider skills. If your friend dies while that's going on at level 50, you are in. It's kind of like you're in the penalty box. You better just hope you can live until your friend comes
back. It is an exercise in trying to stay alive during that interim. Level 50 is hard.
Or is he Dennis, you still there? Looks like we lost Dennis.
I'm still here.
Oh, wait, Susan, you're there. What happened?
I don't know. His line got cut off.
Uh-oh.
He's going to call back in.
Okay, well, guess what? Perfect time for a commercial break. we can. How long will that take him, Susan? Can you tell us?
It's a technical issue. It will take about 2 seconds. Oh. Literally about a minute and a half, let's say.
Okay, all right, well, let's see. I have to take a commercial break. Yeah, we're going to take a break real quick, and you guys stay on the line. He can come back. I don't have to call back or anything, right?
Nope, he's getting back on.
Okay, we're going to take a really quick, a minute and a half break, and we'll be right back with more Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV.
It happens sometimes.
All right, we're back on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And Dennis is back on the phone with us as well. Dennis, you there?
Yes, I am here, sorry.
Oh, okay, no problem. We just wanted to get you back, though, because, no, we were definitely not done at all.
Oh, no, and I'm sorry about that. It's one of those things where technology never works for you, and I was just like, I can't believe the line just cut out.
Yeah, we go through that here at this radio station every now and again. But anyway, jumping into to some of the questions of what you had planned for this game and future titles, I guess. Let's start with Too Human itself. DLC content, what can we expect?
So we can't make any specific announcements, and we've met, so you know I want to talk about it, but I can't. But we have some pretty big plans, and we really, the feedback from the community has been pretty awesome. and we've been following everything. And I think that when we do make some announcements, that there's some, just from a foundation standpoint, that we've got a lot that we can do, and we plan on doing as much as we can continually.
Yeah, do you have any idea of when we might can expect the first little bit of it?
I'd make an announcement then. So not right now, but we'll make an announcement as soon as we can.
Okay, all right. So something's coming. Well, that's good to know.
Yep.
Now what about obviously sequels for this game? From what I understand, or from what I've read, you're planning this to be a trilogy of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. What are some of the things we can expect from the next game?
Well, obviously, we'll continue the story. We're really excited to take that in very new and different places. And you know, I'll talk about some of the things I've talked about before. I can't talk about too much about it, but from a standpoint of your character, and we're going to allow you to transfer your character straight over.
Okay.
So those worried about, oh, I'm going to have to start again or build a new class again, that absolutely will not be the case. So we will essentially take, so if you get up to level 50 or beyond,
mm-hmm.
Before the sequel comes out, then you'll be able to take that character and jump right into the sequel and just go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm excited about that. And we want to do a lot of things around building the community up, so we'll continue to move in that direction now. Now that we've established something that we feel, anyway, you know, we've been talking to Microsoft about this and the responses, it's really, so just to be clear, it's been a really short window. The game just came out.
Yeah, definitely.
But it really does seem that we're resonating the way that we want it to resonate, and looking at what people are requesting and what they would like to see, knowing that we're already going in some of those directions, is just, I got to tell you, personally, from a creative point of view, is very, very positive.
Well, good. We'd like to see it, and I'm glad you can carry your character over as far as, you know, where you're left off with the level. That's good.
Thanks.
That'll be a lot of fun. How high does the level go?
What's our cap going to be?
Yeah, is there a cap?
Right now it's 50.
At 50.
Okay. Yeah. But we've got ways to get it pretty high. And we've got some things we haven't talked about it yet. But, yeah, there should be no worries there.
Okay, great. Some of the questions that the community has asked, that was one about the DLC. Another question is, you already answered the dying question. Did you experiment with any other method of player death?
It's funny because if you compare, I think 2Human made a lot of good steps forward, and I know there's people, to me, people worried about the animation means they just want to get back in and play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at traditional games, like, say, and kind of in the genre, but not really the same, because I think 2Human is kind of a genre bender. It's kind of a console-orientated hunting and gathering RPG with action elements. But the other thing that really mixes it up is the different tactical elements, where you see a big bunch of enemies, you go, I got to attack that guy, I got to attack that guy, I got to attack that guy. So sorry for not staying on topic, but I think that separates it. But during those times when you do die, we've tried to make a game that doesn't feel like you're cheaped out, but it just feels that you've tactically, you've made an error, and when you go back and you think about the tactics, like, I should have done this first, and then that would have helped me a lot, that's the goal. But when you do die, you don't have to go back and get your body. You don't have to, you know, start the level over. We don't reload the level and reset all the enemies. We just put in a time delay to let you, quite frankly, in my opinion, when you're at level 50, and it's, there's like, you know, one missile goblin will fire like 12 missiles. You really, really, it is crazy. And sometimes when I die, sometimes I just kind of think of it like a break. And I'm just like, okay, I can relax for a bit until like my character comes back on. So, yeah.
Yeah, speaking, just as a little aside, speaking of the missile guys.
Yeah.
Whoever in co-op play, in the co-op version of Helheim, whoever thought to put those missile guys on the ledge.
Yeah.
I want them to die in a fire.
Yeah, you know, so
those are, like, every single time, like, I even know they're coming up, I'm like, all right, they're going to be there. I'm not going to die to them this time. No, every time.
You know, it's funny because I will say, when you play a game, it's really hard to balance. So you can pretty easily take those guys out if you have laser cannons.
Yeah, see, but as the defender, I went. I've got pistol spec, so
yeah,
I'm not...
your host.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your host, and you know, so there's a pile of things that we look back in retrospect and getting the feedback. So one of the surprises for us was how hard people found Ice Forest, and it's because when you're experts at the game, we thought, okay, the Ice Forces. We just wanted to give people a training level like the Hall of Heroes, the first level.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly at the next level, people go, I'm just kicking my butt. What's going on? And we feel now that we should have probably ramped that up a little more gradually. And the sort of Ice Force is kind of like school. And if you can sort of pass that, then you're going to have, once you understand what's going on, then you're really going to get the game. It's really going to click. And we just made that a bit steep, I think. And so circumstances where you've got the missile guys up on the ledges, we have a lot of fun with those, but we realize that, especially playing online with people, with what I have been over the weekend, they're like, whoever designed, you're not the first one to tell us that, and we've had it firsthand as
we've
been playing.
They're mean.
Yeah, it's really mean. There's a couple other ones, like...
They're good. Like, I mean, I like them, because every time, like, I've been playing a lot of co-op with the same guy, so every time we run up to him, it's like, okay, this time, we're not going to die. We're going to try something different.
Yeah.
And, like, we even tried it where I stood, and my sole job with the laser pistols was to shoot the missiles out of the sky.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, and it still was no dice.
Well, there are, so for everything that's out there, there is a specific tactic. The problem is the tactics are so deep, and you really have to explore the whole game to understand them. And we thought from that perspective that people would figure it out, and they will figure it out eventually. It's just with a lot of pain. So as an example, there's a bunch of things that you can do in that situation. One is you can be with a commando.
Yeah.
And he's got the anti-missile spider. If you max that out, you're rocking when it comes to missiles. They almost don't become a threat anymore. It'll knock down fully powered up, even at level 50, it'll take out at least 90% of all the missiles. The other thing that you can do, which is probably will surprise people, there's a defender build, where you can drop a spider shield.
Yeah, that's what we've basically been having to do, is to stay alive.
Yeah, and that really helps a lot. And if your defender has a cannon, you'll take those out, because that's what I do. So I'm playing as a level 50 defender. So and actually, build works really well with the reverse polarity battle cry. It's really good for berserkers. So you know, berserkers usually their elite set's a coffin right now, people are dying so much as a berserker because they want all that power and they don't realize that it's coming with reduced health and reduced armor.
Right.
And they like to dive right in and kill stuff, and then they hit a polarity, and it's like, you're dead. And there's a bunch of things like that, you know, we're gonna look at. I'm entertained by it at times, but there's a couple setups in the Ice Forest, as an example, where you get three or four polarity trolls together.
Yes.
And one freezes you, one softens you, one's an elite that you can't mount, and it puts fear even into us, and we built the game. And I look at that and go, when I'm playing with people online, they're like, this is nasty. And seeing people die like 13 times right there, I'm like, yeah, this might be a bit tough.
Hey, you're talking about playing it in co-op. Tell us about, originally, we were looking forward to four-player co-op with this, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
What happened? And,
well,
and could we possibly get that in some DLC or maybe in a sequel?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so... I guess it's a really, how do I say this in the right possible way? And I don't want to make it sound like we're making excuses because we're not. But game development's very hard. And Two Human, when we started making it, when you try to combine those three things that I said earlier, like gameplay, the action gameplay with the RPG elements with all this tactical stuff,
mm-hmm.
to balance all of that became increasingly harder to do. And we had to make a decision. It's funny, because when it hit the press, it was very different than when we made the decision. We had to make a decision early on, how are we going to offer a quality experience? And offering a quality experience, we've had a lot of people say, why don't you just throw four people in?
Right.
And if we threw four people in, and it just completely was broken, and even though less polished, people say, well, we still have much more fun. We were really worried about that and didn't want to do it. We wanted to make the best game possible, and so what we did is reduce the scope to make sure we could manage it. And the scope of T-Human as it is right now, it's deceptively extremely deep. At first, it may look really simple, but once you get into it, there's just so many things. And so far, no one's got 1,000 achievement points yet. And getting those epic suits and getting those epic charms, and it's really hard to get that stuff out. And the amount of customization that you have is extremely high. We had to make sure that people just couldn't break the system. And when we're balancing the players multiplayer right now, there's a lot of things that stack. So you've got your first skill, you've got your battle cries, you've got your spider skills, you've got sentient weapon stack. So when you release your sentient weapon, everyone gets combo meter. So as the game currently sits right now, we have to really think hard on how we're going to keep the really keep the fast action as it sits right now, the tension, and not make it just so easy it's broken. So as an example, just this is the one example I'll think of really quickly, and you know, I know this is a broad sweeping generalization, and I know there'll be counters, but I can just say that this stuff is really difficult. Right now we have the spider recharges probably about on average every 3 to 4 minutes. So if you had four people in there, you could literally drop a spider constantly, so there's always a spider on the ground if you had four people. Or if you had four bioengineers together, your regenerate would be so high that everyone would heal right away. You know, so those are the things in general that you have to deal with. And I know, yes, you can have diminishing returns, and we've talked about all that stuff, but to actually balance that, we were afraid that we would miss too much. And as you can see in some of the things we talked about right now, some of those setups, I feel that we missed a lot, and we have a lot more to improve to make the game better. And I feel really good about the decision. Am I sorry people are disappointed? Oh yeah, we don't want to disappoint anyone. But at the end of the day, it's all about delivering that kind of quality that people want to go back and play over and over again, and that's what we're trying to do.
Right, and the gameplay's always got to come first there, and that's got to be that first consideration. What are the odds, if any, that we're going to see co-op go up to 3 or 4, maybe for 2 or 3?
For 2 human, 2 or 3?
Right.
I think the odds are very possible. Okay. Very high.
Very, very high. Excellent.
Yeah.
That is very good to hear.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful to hear. So when you were coming up and developing this game and you were looking at the class spec and how you wanted to round those out, really, what were the influence on what led you to the final class decisions there?
So we originally, we had about 8, and we still have some planned in the future, and they're still good ideas, but we looked at the archetypes.
Can you hint at those?
Ooh, no, I'd probably get in trouble.
That's fair. I had to ask.
Yeah. I hope you can tell I want to talk about it. I do, because I got to say my favorite class didn't make it because it was too, I like hybrid stuff, it was too hybrid. So what we wanted to do was take the general archetypes for these sort of classifications of games. So we thought about tanks, right? So you have the defender. We thought about damage dealers, which is the berserker. I guess that kind of classifies kind of like rogues in a lot of these MMOs and stuff,
mm-hmm.
or Diablo-like things.
Right.
Do a lot of damage, but they're not exactly the toughest. Though the berserker's a little bit even a hybrid of that. He can be pretty tough if you're fast enough. And then we've got, of course, a long-distance shooter, which is the commando. We've got the bioengineer, who's the healer, and we've got the champion, who's the most well-balanced class. So those are the archetypes we looked at, but we did a bunch of things that are very fundamentally different than most games. And the first one was we wanted to be able to combine, since it's a sort of a science fiction take on Norse mythology, we wanted to be able to combine both guns and swords in a way that really, really made sense. So suddenly on these archetypes, everyone needs to be able to shoot and do melee all the time. Some of them might not do it very well, but they at least need to be able to do that. And that changed a lot of things in our thinking with the archetypes. And the other thing that we did, the fast action stuff, really changed things. So the champion was the first class that we worked on. We said, we want to start this at the middle. And what he does is he does critical strikes, which is pretty common, but he also really excels in air combat. And never before, and I think this was makes it really interesting, it's an action hybrid for the consoles, the ability to do air combat really sets it apart from a lot of other games out there that are in the deep RPG markets. And so from there, it just started all hybriding out. So the bioengineer was, we wanted you to be able to do combat. We didn't want you to just sit back and heal with mana. So we had the whole combo system up. We got rid of all the ideas of just regenerating magic or nanotechnology, whatever you want to call it. So you have to basically kill things to be useful. And then the defender, we started making, if we're going to make a tank, he shouldn't be knocked down. We should have all this, this really strong gravity skill, berserker. Anyway, and it just went on and on. So that's how it all came into consideration.
Excellent. You know, and the defender, the no knockdown is probably my absolute favorite, playing with my champion buddy and running in, and the trolls just keep knocking him over. And I'm like, what are these trolls? Are no problem. I don't know what you're talking about. So.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, if people start with the defender, they don't realize the knockdown, and they're like, hey, this is not that bad. What are people talking about?
Yeah, and then you go, I went back to play with my commando a little bit, and I was like, God, the trolls!
Yeah, it's really different that way, and it's one of the things that we did that's really different as well. If you look at a lot of these typical role-playing games with trees, skill trees, they will give you a special move in the skill tree that'll be like, say, a 360 attack or something, or a slide, and it's a skill you have to put a skill point in. We intrinsically just gave you all that stuff at the beginning with the controller.
Yeah.
So all the action-oriented, so when a lot of times people are saying, hey, these skill trees look really simple, and actually all of those skills absolutely augment everything that you have already, and if you don't know how to do juggling, if you don't know how to do air combat, you're missing out on, like, if we were to add all that in the trees, we could have, but we just thought that, you know, let's do something different, so that's why we did it.
Excellent.
And Dennis, some of the other questions that we've got here, relative to recent reviews, has your view of the final product changed in relation to what you initially thought it would be?
No, it's funny. Not at all. Not whatsoever. I can't explain. What it's like to be, you know, on this side, except, you know, bringing you into this side and bringing you onto the development team.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. The only way I can describe it is, when you set out to create something, if you waver from that initial goal, and we had this one-page document for True Human, we hit every single point. And ironically, in the one-page document, we never – I know people will say, well, you backed off from the four-player co-op. That was actually never in the document. We just wanted to do co-op. And but we hit every single pillar in that, and despite, I would say, insane adversity, we never varied. Are strayed from that original vision document, and if you start doing that, you can't design by committee or consensus. You can certainly get feedback, but I can say this: we have done so much focus testing internally. You know, with Microsoft, we were confident that we had feedback like right stick control will never work. We heard that for a very, very long time. And we're like, we did a lot of focus testing. This seems to work fine. People seem to like it. And, you know, those are the things that, you know, you certainly do focus tests internally, but we liked it too. And, you know, like I said, it all comes back to, do you really think you should never kid yourself? But we, you know, always stayed on our goal. So, not at all.
Yeah. Well, what about, obviously Two Humans been around for a good while as far as being in development and that sort of thing. What aspects of the story and the gameplay have changed the most over time, and what aspects have remained the most constant?
So that's a very interesting question, and the reason I say that is because it's one of the biggest myths associated with video game, with our video game, is that it's been in development for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
And we had done some original stuff on the, so just wanted to dispel the rumor. We had worked on the PlayStation 1 after we finished Legacy of Kain. However, when we became a Nintendo second party, we stopped, obviously, all PlayStation work. We did a little bit of prototyping, but we initially planned to bring it to the GameCube. We never got around to that because we finished Eternal Darkness, we did Metal Gear, and then soon, right after Metal Gear was done, we started working on Two Human again, and that's when we hooked up with Microsoft on the 360. So the game itself, the ideas, sure, they've been percolating in our head, but it hasn't been in a development for all that long. Not the decade plus that people perceive it to be, and I always try to dispel the rumor, but I'm failing because it keeps getting put out there. But from a design perspective and what we wanted to do, we built it around the ideas that we'd learned from Legacy of Kain, you know, Eternal Darkness, you know, Metal Gear Solid, and we looked at, and we partnered with Microsoft. We said, what is the great thing that Microsoft has to offer? And it's Xbox Live. I'm a big fan of Xbox Live because, you know, if you subscribe to Gold, you've got a network backbone that's rocking right away. So we looked at all the ideas we had, and we said, let's do this really unique fusion that we think will be very different and also very appealing, that will complement the hardware and at the same time allow us to go into the space that's really never been gone into before. And so that's, I would say, how the ideas changed. The sort of the content and the sort of ideas about being Two Human and the effects of technology on society, the redoing of Norse mythology, the ideas of technology are very old, and they date back to when I was thinking about this during my master's thesis. But the Norse mythology stuff and how we really decide to retell the mythologies, that stuff is all really new, and the multiplayer aspects and sort of the hunting and gathering aspects of the game, we really, those are all really concepts when we started working on the 360.
So, then I guess not much then.
No.
Really changed after you know, putting in some playtime with it and seeing that, you know, that's the core, basically.
Yeah.
Let's see. Some of the other questions kind of revert back to past projects. First, you know, like I said, we're all fans of Legacy of Kain. And those of us who have played Eternal Darkness, I know it's me. I know I'm one of them. I'm a big fan of that as well. Will we ever see another Eternal Darkness?
I think it's possible. But I can't.
It's a good answer.
I can't answer beyond that. You know, I think I'll have, you know, it's really funny. I've been doing recently, I did a bunch of press in the UK and Japan and stuff, and that question came up almost 110% of the time. I think some people asked it several times in the interview, and I kept giving the same answer. You know, we love Eternal Darkness. We love Nintendo. We're obviously good friends. And, you know, if there's a time that we're going to announce something, we will, but there's no announcements, you know, and it's just not the right time to talk about anything like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, no, we'll take what we can get from you.
Okay,
you
cool.
Know. We'll take that. And be enjoyed by the fact that you at least acknowledge that very possible.
Sure.
That it can be there. Somebody had posed the question about Legacy of Kain, and I understand that's pretty much stopped because you guys, I know you guys did the original.
That's right.
And after that it was all Crystal Dynamics, but
yep.
But you laid a foundation that was really good.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, it's funny. When I look at what we did with Legacy of Kain, we just finished Dark Legions, and we did all these. How that all started is we did these promotional cards, and we started telling stories. We're like, this is really fun. And I sat down with Ken, who's the director of content. Him and I've been writing a lot of the stories, and he's, you know, next to me, he's been here the longest, been like 16 years or something. He was here before we've incorporated. So we started writing the stories. It was originally called The Pillars of Nosgoth,
mm-hmm.
And we had all these ideas and where we wanted to take it, and the reception of it was so overwhelmingly positive, and then it just went a different direction, and you know, now we're not associated with it. But to have people still today say they really, really loved it, I got to tell you, it's refreshing. And you know, back in the day, when we actually did it on the PlayStation 1, it was unheard of for a North American developer to even attempt an RPG or action adventure. It didn't happen. And then one of the goals of that game was to do absolutely no text, and we did just all voiceovers, and that's harkens back to the time the first time I went to LA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's something that it's got a lot of fond memories, and you know, I there are times when I go back, and you know, we have a few little minor homages into Human, like, you know, we have like nicknames for Baldur's guns for Havoc and Malice and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. You know, but it's always near and dear to us. Ironically, this is a true story. Ironically, the Soul Reaver was a weapon from Two Human.
Oh, so it was in. So you had planned it in Two Human first.
Yeah, yeah, but it was the Soul Reaver was actually a gun, and during the development, we came up with the concept of Two Human about 3 or 4 weeks before Legacy of Kain, and we know we're always pitching multiple products as a developer, and during the development, Legacy of Kain. I was a director on the project, and I was a programmer turned director, and back then being director was really new, but the project was going to be here. I go, I think I need to be a director, not programming anymore, because the project is, you know, we got to make sure it stays on the rails. And I looked at Two Human, and I went, you know, we should bring the Soul Reaver in as a weapon in Legacy of Kain, because I think it'll really help the game. And it showed itself to be popular.
Yeah, I have, it's not the Soul Reaver, but Kain's sword. Does it have a name?
I think just the Iron Sword is what it was called back.
Just the Iron Sword, whatever. Yeah,
the initial one you get.
Yeah, you know,
looks out of his chest.
I believe that's the one. You know, it's got the curvy blade or whatever. I've got a replica.
That's the Soul Reaver.
No, that's the Soul Reaver with curve.
That's Soul Reaver.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got a replica of that then.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no kidding. I bought it off eBay. Somebody has made one. It's got the, you know, it's the handle and then the skull at the base of where the blade. Attaches with the wings coming out, the fangs, red eyes, and then it, you know, it's wavy or whatever. Yeah, I that big of a fan. I really, really enjoyed
oh,
that.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you very much. I'm glad you liked it so much. Well, yeah, so that's the story behind the Soul Reaver.
And I hear that I had heard a rumor that Legacy of Kain would be put on the PlayStation Network. Do you know any more about that?
Have no clue.
Okay. I had read that, gosh, that was months ago, I think. We had heard that little news story, but nothing since, so...
You've got more info on that than I do.
Oh, well. Back into the questions here. You guys have any interest in developing for handheld?
Yeah, you know, that's always popping up, and there is interest, of course, because I think the handhelds are great. And when you when survival in this industry, it's very competitive. It's all about maintaining your focus. And as long as it doesn't stray us from our focus, so if we can do the kind of games that we want to make and still stay focused on those games, and if we can do one in the handheld space that is along those lines of very content driven, or you know, maybe just a quick one if people need a break or we want to do something. So yeah, the answer is yes, though, you know, certainly it's like predicting the future in the weather. We're not averse to it, so that means it's possible, but there's no sort of aggressive plans right now in that direction.
What about episodic gaming?
Tough question, because the definition of episodic gaming is so different for many people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a successful model, and so I guess we'd question the business model compared to just releasing, you know, product and support for that product.
Right.
You know, so I guess as an example, I think we'd rather go along the lines of doing a trilogy for Two Human and doing downloadable content in between the trilogies. You know, that's, I think, probably a more sustainable model than just continually dropping, you know, content and bits. But I'm not sure. It's, you know, I think it's kind of unexplored territory. I just think we'll probably stay away from it. But, you know, if someone can make money in that, I think that's a great. I'd love to see it. And certainly I think everyone would follow suit and really pay attention. Though I don't know what the verdict is on that stuff right now. I know some people are trying it, but I haven't heard of any overwhelming successes so far.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it's still very early. You know, obviously, they're having success with the Sam & Max series, and Half-Life is trying to keep up with it, Valve and stuff with those episodes.
But is it? Is that? So I guess I agree with you because I love Half-Life. I'm a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love Team Fortress. So I don't. I guess they are calling it, but they almost seem like full games to me. And they're coming out, and maybe I'm wrong, but don't they come out about the average cycle of a sequel anyway?
Yeah, I was about to say, yes, I don't care how much they want to label, like, episode whatever on there. Man, when I have to wait for freaking months and months and months to play the next chapter.
You waited longer than a month to play the next chapter.
Yeah, well, as I'm saying, like...
Or at
like,
least after episode
cumulative
one,
months and months and months, then that's no longer episodic. You should take that stupid episode thing off, because it's not episodes anymore. These are sequels.
Well, yeah. Then try to explain why it's 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. I guess.
Well, I want to be clear. I'm not being critical to that game, because I love that series. I think it's really, really good. But, yeah, I just don't know what's the definition of episodic content anymore. Because that doesn't seem like... To me, episodic content is almost like once every quarter or once every 2 months.
Right.
That yeah, so like that's more in line in my book, too. Frequent releases.
Well, look at the Sam & Max, Sam & Max series, and hopefully Penny Arcade Adventures.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to do fine with that as well.
Love that game. That was great.
Oh, you know, speaking of, what are you, other than Two Human, what are you currently playing?
Well, I have been playing a ton of Two Human lately, and, you know, I really, it's going to be funny. I play, so my gamer score on Xbox Live is reasonable, but not as huge as some of the people here, because I love PC games. I love all the consoles. I play them all. And the one that's really, quite frankly, excited me quite a bit has been Sins of the Solar Empire.
We had those guys on the show.
I'd love that game.
All right, now we've got to play Two Human co-op, and now I'm going to hit you up for Sins of the Solar Empire.
That sounds good to me. I'm playing the beta right now, and I want a final release, so because I'm not stuck, but I don't want to uninstall and go back into the main, the main group, because I really like the changes they've made in the beta, and so I'm just waiting. But honestly, I've been playing nothing but Two Human. As it came out, I was. My whole weekend was lost, so I like that. I think it's a good game.
Yeah, what is your another one of these questions, what's your biggest gaming disappointment of the year so far?
Oh, that's a tough one.
And then, of course, your biggest surprise of the year so far.
Disappointment's tough. I don't know if I've had any disappointments, but because this year's been so busy, I haven't played a lot. And biggest surprise, I guess Sins of the Solar Empire really did it for me from that regard. And what else out there that I really like Geometry Wars 2. I jump around on all these different games. But I think there's a lot of really cool stuff out there. It's just trying to pick it all up. I just feel there's more than I can possibly digest right now.
What are you looking forward to then this year for the remainder of the year?
Fable, I'm looking forward to. Resistance, I'm looking forward to. I could go on forever. It's kind of asking like
we got a lot of stuff coming up. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like a movie buff. What movie are they looking forward to? It's like, well, what's coming out this weekend? I'm looking forward to all that.
Yeah. Well, it's been great. Can you take a phone call?
Sure.
Yeah, we got somebody on the line here. I believe Andrew is on the line. Now, we've had problems with our phone before, and there is a possibility that it may disconnect.
Okay.
And hang up on you. If it does, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, you don't want me to try back, come back? Or
you could try, but we're about at the top of the hour here. And
okay,
so
sounds good.
We're about to be wrapping things up, but I want to go to the phones here and see if this works. Andrew, are you there?
Yes, I am, Scott.
Hey, man, you're on with Dennis. Go ahead with your question.
Oh, actually, I didn't have a question, so it's all right if you lost him anyway.
No, he's on. He's on. He's on.
Okay, great. I really was just calling to say that I think Two Humans really fun, and the people in my gaming community have really been enjoying it. In co-op, it's been something that a lot of us have been taking turns playing together, and it's been great, man, trying out all the new classes and stuff. I gotta say, we learned a hard lesson right away, though. We learned that my buddy, who was level 30, shouldn't be gallivanting with me at level 14, because you run into level 35 and 40 mobs, and I'm pretty much useless.
That's right. Yeah, well, thank you so much. And I got to tell you, there's nothing more refreshing than hearing that you guys and gals or whoever you're on, your friends are really having a good time, because it's just the best reward. But yeah, we've pretty much balanced the game. If you're any more than 15 levels apart, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We started over again with new classes and stuff at the same level. And, I think we got through the first level without dying until the end boss. So it was
cool.
Quite a different experience.
Well, I'm glad.
But I just wanted to say, man, ignore all the people on infamous message boards full of nerds. They're just out there solely to grief people, man. Really, I mean, you're fighting for the little guys, man. You're doing the good work. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
So that was all I had, and I'd also just like to say that Evil Avatar Radio is pretty awesome, and I've been listening for about 6 months now, and I really like what you guys do every week. So
well, thank you as well, and we appreciate you calling in. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
All right, keep listening. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Dennis, you still there?
I am.
My God,
I have to add kudos, just if I could just jump in. I think Evil Avatar is the first site, or one of the first sites I ever signed on to.
Really?
Yes. And I actually decided on Evil Avatar to stop posting anonymously back in the Eternal Darkness days. I made the decision on Evil Avatar.
Yeah, now, have you been over to Evil Avatar lately?
Oh, I'm every day.
Have you checked out the thread about your game?
I have.
Because I was going to tell you that it's pretty much everybody there is they like the game, and they kind of scratch their head at these reviews. I mean, it's, you know, obviously people have their problems. I mean, the camera can get tricky at times and kind of annoying. And I know some people have problems with the going back out to the interface to add their skill points and, you know, and equip their character and stuff. Although, you know, there's ways you can fix that, but overall, so much better than some of these reviews that we've been reading. And I don't understand, I don't know what game they played, or even if they played enough of it.
I can say that the Evil Avatar forums are consistent with everyone I've been on lately. I mean, everyone. I'm kind of blown away by the groundswell, and it's really exciting to hear that. Beyond that, it's a different game, you have to pay attention to what we're doing, you know, at first, because it's not just something you can just pick up and assess like every other game out there. So, no, I'm so happy. I saw the thread, and it was massive, massive. And there's threads all over the place. And, you know, twohuman.net is a place I hang out a lot at
mm-hmm.
right now. And I think the forums there are really, really strong, and it's really nice reading the forums. And that's an unusual thing to say, but it's been pretty good. And just that phone call just now,
yeah,
that was pretty awesome. That's something I did not expect. I was actually, I have to tell you, I was a little afraid.
No. I mean, like I said, again, I guess you should be, because of the reviews that, these professional reviews that we've been reading have been just trashing this game. And then you'll get these forum posters like this who are saying, I don't know what their problem is, but I'm enjoying I'm having fun playing your game. Which I believe is the point of most games.
We make games for the gamers.
So,
and if the gamers are happy, that's our goal.
Well, you're doing great with it. So we want to thank you for being on the show. We got to run. But thank you so much for coming on the show. And you are welcome on any time. You got something you want to say? Just call up and we'll put you on, man.
Oh, thanks so much. This was great. I really enjoyed it.
For instance, it's been a great time to make calls.
Yeah,
you need to do it. Well, why not live on the air?
Exactly. But yeah, I'll be emailing you for your gamertag. We'll do some co-op to human after a PAX, of course. We're going to PAX here this week. So
yeah, I'm jealous. I wanted to go, but I've been too busy. And I love the Penny Arcade. That is a great site too. And I love the Penny Arcade guys. They are awesome.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a lot of fun. So look forward to talking to you further and having you on many more shows, and we'll do some co-op, man.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Dennis Dyack from Silicon Knights, and 2Human, of course, in stores now, so you got to go out there and, give it a rental. There's a demo on Xbox Live if you still haven't played it and you're still unsure about what's going on. Definitely check it out before you buy, and you might be surprised. You might really be surprised with it. Well, that's going to do it for our first hour here. When we come back, we'll be talking with Robert Koo of Penny Arcade. Obviously, there's some news there. Penny Arcade Expo is this week. My flight. When are you leaving out, Daniel?
I leave out on Thursday. I get into Seattle at about 10:45 in the morning.
I leave out of here Wednesday afternoon around 5, and I get there at about 10:30 that night into Seattle. And so, Penny Arcade Expo is this week. Obviously, there's the Penny Arcade Expo 2010 that's going to be in the East Coast. They're going to be splitting it up. So, obviously, we'll have those questions as well for Robert. We'll be taking yours, 334-272-9228, or everyone at evilavatarradio.com. You can email your questions in there as well. So, when we come back 6 minutes after the hour, Robert Koo here on Evil Avatar Radio. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. It is the second hour of the show. Oh, boy. Dennis walked in and spilled his drink. Luckily, you weren't near the equipment, because bad enough as it is, man. Don't need more of that in there.
Carpet's absorbent, at least.
Yeah, it is, actually. So, oh, man. Well, we'll get that cleaned up. But anyway, we got Robert Koo on the line right now. Robert, you there?
I am. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Yeah, you ready for this week that's, for you, I guess you've been going through it all month, huh? And then some.
Like, honestly, this last week is more about putting the final finishing touches, and if we've done our jobs throughout the rest of the year, then this week should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's not.
It never is. It never gets you. Dude, all you have to do is look at the numbers that increased this year.
Yeah.
Staggering.
It's pretty crazy. Like, I think at this point we're, I think when we closed pre-reg, we were at something like 42,000. It was,
God.
It's just, it blows my mind.
So yeah, it's exploded into what it is. Now, we had you on the show last year. In fact, we've had Penny Arcade people all month this month. We had Kristen on at the first week of August. Then we had Mo. We talked to Jonathan Colton last week.
Very cool.
Saved you for last, which is kind of nice, because if we'd had you that first week of August, it was around the 1st of August that you made the announcement about PAX 2010.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Got some questions about that. I don't know what you can answer with us, but we got some questions about
it. Fire
that.
Away. I'll do what I can.
All right. So, you know what? I was really busy today, but what I wanted to do is go back to our episode that we had you on last year.
Okay.
When we asked you, you ever going to have it out on the East Coast?
What'd I say?
I don't remember. I think you said that, I think you said if the demand was there, that you guys would look into it.
To be honest, yeah, we were already touring sites at that point in time.
I know, you probably didn't tell me everything.
I'm sorry, I couldn't.
Well, he also said, I don't know where people came up with the idea that Live Arcade's going to have Penny Arcade Episode 1.
That's true, we asked you about that also.
What else? What did I say?
You said that I don't know where people are getting that idea, that Live Arcade would come with would have Penny Arcade Expo, or Penny Arcade Adventures.
I was not lying. I promise you, literally that deal got closed probably a month or two before it actually hit the system.
Oh, wow.
Like,
not a month, more like 2 or 3 months, but it was turnaround. Like, honestly, when the first of the year rolled around, and probably around February, we thought that deal was dead in the water.
Yeah.
So, it just sort of shows you how quickly things can turn.
Yeah, no, well, again, you look at the way Penny Arcade Expo has you can't really say that it's doubled every year because it hasn't. It's, you know, gotten exceptionally bigger.
Yes.
Each and every year. I don't think that's going to stop for you, Robert.
Well, we'll see. We think that this is the year where it's going to stop doubling.
What?
We think.
You guys don't put limits on those things.
Well,
maybe you do, but you expect, you know, it's like child's play.
I would be happy with 50,000 people this year. I would be happy.
Man, it'll be big this year. It'll be big next year. I can promise you. Then when you have two of them in the same year, I don't know what's going to happen at that point.
Yeah, we'll see what that does, because it's really interesting. Because we always thought that, hey, you know what? A lot of people would sort of choose one or the other. But if you ever look at the forums, like the second that announcement was sort of released, people were talking about, oh yeah, you know, what do we need to do now to make it so we can make it to both shows in 2010? And I was like, wow, that was not a response I was anticipating.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Concerning the East Coast version of PAX, what is the most asked question that you've gotten about it?
Where's it going to be?
Bingo. So there you go. Where's it going to be, Robert?
I can tell you this. I can say that we have narrowed it down to about two or three cities.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are pretty good that you'll hear about it at PAX.
Well, you know, perfect place to announce it.
All right. Why not? You know, turns out that there are some people there that are interested in the show.
I guess so. So, you know, like I said, we had you on last year, and so you've told us the story. But give us the whole story behind how things came to be with you and with Penny Arcade itself.
How PAX came to be?
No, how you came into Penny Arcade, and we'll get into PAX. But how you became involved with the guys at Penny Arcade.
I'll give you the abbreviated version.
Okay, cool.
So I used to work for a consulting group.
Right.
We were doing sort of early stage technology consulting and looking at also foreign companies looking to break into the U.S. market. One of my jobs was to develop marketing strategies and whatnot, and I've always been like a huge gamer and longtime fan of Penny Arcade. And what was it? So one of my clients ended up being this MMO soccer game, actually, based out of South Korea, and again, like, I developed this marketing plan. I was like, yeah, you know, it'd be really cool if we worked with these Penny Arcade guys. I'm a fan of them, meaning that probably other people are fans of them, so had lunch with them, realized that they didn't know what they were doing. Came back to them about a month later and plopped down a 50-page business plan and said, hey, you know what? This business plan is yours. If you want, you can keep it, and we can just, you know, part ways, shake hands. It's all yours. I would love to be the guy that actually executes it. Just you give me the green light, I'll quit my job, and I'll tell you what, I will work for you for free for 2 months, and if I can pay for myself after 2 months, keep me, and if I can't, cut me. Yeah. No hard feelings. And that was 7.5 years ago, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time.
And look what you did.
That's a pretty good thing.
Well, I mean, it's not, I love people, like, honestly, you look at whatever thread is about, like, the business of Penny Arcade and whatnot, or whatever article, and they always, like, credit me. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, who's the magic bullet? But, I mean, come on. Like, really? Do people really think that? Hey, it's, I couldn't have, it was really a perfect storm as far as finding two incredibly talented people and a guy that had some pretty strong sort of business roots. And in my mind, business people are commodities, and, you know, I'm sure that everyone at my alma mater and whatnot would shoot me for saying that. But the fact is that, yeah, I mean, business guys are sort of a dime a dozen, but incredibly creative and funny and talented cartoonists? No, not so much. Mm-hmm. Not so much. So it really, I'm riding on their coattails, not the other way around.
Well, it's some good coattails to be riding on there, especially the success that they've had. Now, how did PAX come together, though? How did PAX start?
PAX came together when we were at a show called UberCon. That's actually still being run somewhere in the Northeast now, I think. It's either Pennsylvania or New Jersey, I think. And we were invited as guests of honor, and we flew out there, and a lot of people sort of coming up to us and saying, hey, yeah, you know, the reason why we're coming to this con is because of you guys. We're like, oh, that's cool. That's really flattering. And then we thought to ourselves, wow, this is kind of a cool convention. It had anime, it had comics, it had video games, it had pretty much anything that was sort of geek culture. And we said to ourselves, yeah, you know, this would be really cool if we did it ourselves, but we would really want to focus on gaming exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Through a series of events, I won't draw it out too long, but ultimately came back, tried to find a partner, was unsuccessful doing that, sort of tabled the whole concept entirely. And then about the end of March, I think, of 2004, Mike and Jerry walk into my office and they're like, hey, yeah, what's going on with this PAX thing we were planning? And I was like, really? You guys are serious? And they're like, yeah, do it. And so between between April and August of that year, I was able to plan PAX 2004, which, sure, it sounds really impressive, but honestly, like, when you look at how that show was run back in 2004 compared to how we do it now, it was pretty shameful.
Well, I didn't go. Well, one of the guys, well, he's not in the room anymore, but he just left the room. He was one of the Meganauts at the first PAX.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, he was there, and he can't make it to this year's PAX. I'm hoping he'll make it next year. Actually, you know, there's a lot of people who, once they decided they couldn't make it this year, and then you guys talk about the East Coast version of PAX, it's just like, oh, all right, well, I'll just go then.
Sure.
You know, when it hits to the East Coast. So, going back to the East Coast thing, one of our guys who's coming to PAX, he was there last year, he's coming there this year, he's coming in all the way from Belgium. He wanted to know that now that it's expanding to the East Coast, is there any chance that you guys will bring PAX to Europe?
There's a market for it.
Same answer we got last time. All right, yeah. Okay. And look what happened then, so.
Who knows?
Exactly. You know, one of the things that you told us about last year on the show was first party. Where does that stand right now? Where is that at?
It's still cooking. It's still cooking. Like
the banners were at PAX last year.
Yeah. They'll be back, and it's we just want to make sure that we get it right.
Oh yeah.
Like it. Believe it or not, like yeah, the process of premium apparel is really kind of a pain in the butt. Like it really is a difficult process, and as far as quality controls and whatnot, this is sort of like our exclusive sort of apparel brand, and we really want to make sure that we do it right.
Yeah. What are you looking most forward to at PAX this year? Last year, I think it was, was it Castle Crashers last year?
I think. So, okay, I'll tell you what. Here are the things I'm looking forward to most. I'm looking forward to Ken Levine.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to right after Ken Levine.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha. No. I get what you're throwing.
Yeah.
Because last year after the keynote, who comes out on stage but, you know, that guy.
Well, it was actually Mike and Gabe and Tycho came out after stage on stage. But then after them, that was when Uvi came out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, no, we're definitely looking forward to that to the keynote this year, the concerts this year, of course. A lot of us looking forward to hanging out in Seattle. For Evil Avatar itself, there was very few people that went last year. I think it was only about 12, I believe,
mm-hmm.
who went last year. And for a lot of us, it was our first experience at PAX, and we really enjoyed it. This year, a lot of us have learned to go earlier so that you can enjoy more of the city and not feel so rushed.
It's a beautiful city.
It really is. We love it. We went down the market. This is where I discovered Shorty's last year.
Oh, hey.
That is a great place.
That is a great place.
Pinball, man. You know? You just don't find
that
places
back room,
that,
man.
Oh, God. You just don't find places that cater to The pinball lovers out there.
No,
so,
no.
Who we found out last week that Jonathan Colton is an avid pinball fan. So
I would have never guessed.
We're going to try and get him out to Shorty's there. So, but yeah, what else? Just a lot of things. It was a beautiful city. This year we've discovered a place called Top Pot Donuts.
Yeah, Top Pot.
Yeah, we're gonna check that place out because I know it's like a 3-hour drive to Voodoo Donuts.
Yes, that's true.
Which I know
one of our enforcers actually works there.
Oh, at Top Pot?
No, Voodoo.
Oh, at Voodoo.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a place that one of those eateries that I want to go to.
Yeah, and Top Pot is I can't say most of the names of their donuts on air, but from Voodoo. But Top Pot, on the other hand, is very family friendly, and you can. God, it's right off 5th, so it's right underneath the monorail, so you can't miss it.
Right, well, we're definitely probably going to be checking that out as well. Let's see, what else was there? What was your favorite thing from PAX last year? You know, we talked to you before the show, but we never heard from you afterwards.
It was the final round of the Omegathon.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
Which, sadly, we can never top.
Really?
We'll never be able to top that final round.
I don't know.
Were you there?
I was there, yeah.
What'd you think of the theatrics behind that?
Well, it was my first PAX. Just the whole PAX in general was just an amazing thing to behold, and you know, the sumo lounge, wonderful. By the way, thank you for giving Evil Avatar a sumo lounge.
Oh, no problem.
A little section there in the sumo lounge for us.
No problem.
Because
they're supposed to be all red and dark gray, I recall.
Yeah, it's red and black, red, dark gray sumos in there. You know, I'd mentioned that a few of us went last year. Well, we've got over 50 of us going this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. Because of the experience that we had last year and the fun that we had, we came back and we were telling everybody about, you know, our time spent out there. And you know, we're bringing a lot more people with us this year.
I'm glad to hear that.
So, but yeah, no, watching the Omegathon, it was the first thing that I'd seen, and it was great. First off, you were playing a game that I hadn't, you know, obviously had any time with.
Sure.
Other than what we played in the Crackdown. Game, but
I mean, I will say that this year's final round is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons, but at the same time, it doesn't carry the same end of the movie The Wizard for a spectacle that you know Halo 3 did.
And that's true. Video Armageddon, huh?
Yes. One day I'm gonna have to recreate that entire stage. Just watch.
That would be great, you know. As long as
Fred's gonna come out, it's gonna be great.
Power glove?
Oh, of course, absolutely.
No, it's you know, we enjoy PAX, we love it, we're glad you guys are doing it, and we want you to keep it up. Obviously, you're going to be doing it twice now. Man, are you? You can't be looking forward to that year.
Well, honestly, like this is why when we announced PAX East Coast, we also announced sort of our event partner. So. Like, there are a company called Reed Expo.
Right, yeah.
They run New York Comic Con, New York Anime Festival. And what's great about them is that they have this built-in infrastructure as far as how to run shows. Like, they deal with fire code. They deal with all the crap that I hate to deal with when it comes to planning a show, whereas it lets us focus on cool things like content and, you know, what panels there are and, you know, what the final round of the Omegathon is going to be, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's always, everybody's guessing. I remember being in the huddle with those guys and, Or being in that group of people waiting for the final round to start, and everybody saying, "Oh, I think it's going to be this," or, you know, "I think, oh no, it's I heard a rumor," or "No, I talked to this guy. This is what it's going to be. I know."
But the mini boss is coming out with backstage and like the live music and the fog machines and the video presentation. It was just so over the top. It was crazy.
Oh no, it was great. And so, see, that was my first, so I expect it to happen every time now. So don't drop the ball. Yeah. But yeah, it's great. And how, you know, for next year's PAX, obviously you're going to get bigger. You're going to be able to stay in that same place. You're going to be able to work around that.
Yeah, we'll be able to work around. We actually already have sort of what the layout for next year is going to be. We're going to be able to expand the expo hall quite a bit. We're going to be able to expand the PC area quite a bit, and we will also be getting a little creative with tabletop and whatnot, and trying to make sure that. All segments and all facets of the gaming community get represented fairly.
Good. That's great. Before we let you go, kind of curious, what games have you been playing recently? What are your...
I've been playing a lot of Professor Layton on whatever plane I'm on at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
I am obsessed with that game. Besides the there are certain puzzles in there that are really just poorly written, but I won't bore you with that. And also a lot of Soul Calibur 4.
Yeah, man, we talked about that just off the air a minute ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, that's great, man, and we appreciate what you do. We appreciate what Gabe and Tycho do. We appreciate what everybody involved with Penny Arcade does.
Well, thanks, man. Likewise. I know that you keep on referencing, you know, all of your old episodes as if, like, I hadn't listened to them. But no, I mean, I tune in every week, so I really appreciate the support that you guys give.
Really?
Us.
Really? You listen every week?
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, no problem, man.
We'll be sure to say hello a few episodes every now and again.
And I will say that you made the same mistake that I did, which was not letting Jonathan Colton close.
Not letting Jonathan Colton close. Oh! No, what?
Dude,
what?
He's so much more popular than I am. Why would I be the last guy to get this interview slot?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, no. It's how the schedule worked out.
Yeah, I think he was booked or something.
Yeah, something like, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, when we were trying to get, she lined up these people for us, and we kind of wanted the group that we had last year, Kristen, Mo, and you. And I know there was a gap there, and I'm like, well, who else could we get? And so, you know, we had Colton on before.
Mm-hmm.
And we got him. You know, I asked Colton if I could introduce him on stage.
Yeah.
At PAX this year. He said I could, so, you know.
Hey, if it works, great.
You have to let me know.
You know what? Whatever Jonathan says.
Exactly.
It is law.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're really looking forward to it, man. And again, like I said, thank you so much. You know, beyond Penny Arcade Expo, but into Child's Play as well.
Oh, not a problem. We'll get that ramped up the second that we recuperate from this show.
Yeah, a lot of recuperation coming your way for that. So, well, congratulations on the success of everything, and and good luck with this Penny Arcade Expo this year. Going to be there and enjoying it with you. So,
sounds good.
We'll have you on again next year. We'll talk to you later, man.
Okay, see you guys.
Bye bye.
Bye.
That was Robert Koo of Penny Arcade, and yeah, so PAX this year, and it's a lot of fun. This is your first year, right, Daniel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
You're going to enjoy it, and I really hope you're going to enjoy it, put it that way.
Well, if I don't, I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
All right, no, you know what? That's fair. That's fair, because I really don't think it'll get to that.
Yeah, I don't think it'll get to that point either.
So, anyway, we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. We got some news we can talk about in there, and what we've been playing, what we're going to be playing as well. So we'll get to that here coming up next on 1170 WACV with Evil Avatar Radio. And welcome back to Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Last bit of the show here. Well, I got a good bit of it to go. But what are you guys? Obviously, me and Daniel have been playing Two Human.
Way too much Two Human.
See, okay, I called out Track Zero during the interview with Dayak, and we said this during the break. The reason I was calling him out was because I was trying to keep him from killing bosses or killing really anything after I had died. The reason was he was level 41 and I was level 9. And so, you know, if I caught, like, just whatever, if I was in the fumes of a goblin or whatever, it was
somebody
dead.
Somebody sneezed on you.
Yeah, I was gone. It didn't matter, you know? And so I was staying behind going through there. I would help out when I could because I was commando, so I had the range. So, you know, I could do very, very tiny damage. But he would take down the, what are they called? What are those guys called? The robots with the guns and the packs, the big ones.
Which one? There are a lot of them.
I know, but
the trolls that have the mine launchers. They launch little yellow things.
Yeah, there's those. They're those are the trolls then.
Yeah, well, they're hammer trolls and they're mine launchers.
Right.
Trolls.
Okay, those guys. But yeah,
okay.
He would take down as much as he could of those to allow me to hop on their back, you know, and
yes.
Take them out that way, which was a lot of fun. But you know, but yeah, I have to stress that I was dying a lot, so for him to wait on me every time I died would have taken us forever to get through that level. So, but yeah, I played Two Human, played co-op, really enjoyed it as a co-op, and really looked forward to playing four player. That'd be a lot of fun as well.
Single player's good too.
I'm trying to think if I played anything else. I didn't think I did. I tried out. Did anybody try out Galaga?
I did.
actually, I tried out the demo of it. I'm glad now that I did not buy it, but it has nothing to do with the demo. I was really dubious about it because I was talking before. I really like Galaga.
Yeah.
It was disarming. Like, it was really good. It was completely, like, not Galaga, but other than there was some sort of, it was less similarity in the sound design, you know, it was obviously touching back to what Galaga was supposed to be. But I really liked it. Like, it was actually an awful lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I felt very much that I could be happy if I had purchased it completely. So,
of course, looking back, obviously.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't.
Here's what happened. This morning, obviously, we got hit. We woke up to sirens in our area, which...
I've been going to sleep to sirens in my area for, like...
We're a little touchy on that after our situation back in February.
Yeah.
In fact, there was supposed to be a fundraiser today for the tornado that hit us.
Really, was there?
Yeah, it was over at the golf course. There was going to be a fundraiser for that. Of course, that's canceled because why?
Because
well,
of tornadoes.
The sirens were going off again.
Yeah, that's great.
But yeah, so we woke up to that this morning, and you hadn't had a chance to get the game to you.
Well, I issued, like, the trading back in of some of my Gamefly stuff because I wanted to keep it a little bit longer. And because we had made arrangements, as much as one can make arrangements, to get something through Blockbuster. I was like, okay, they really kind of stink in several regards because they can't get it anywhere near release date at all. Which, and this pretty much puts me at a point where I don't want to get stuff from them anymore just because, like, it's very frustrating. So I was going to be able to get it on Friday, and that didn't happen. So it showed up on Saturday, but they get two copies, and it just, like, somebody else took them. And that really stinks, so I didn't have opportunity to play Two Human.
So I got delayed coming into work this morning because of the weather.
Inclement weather. And you handed me your copy, which was all brilliant. And I went in and I powered up my systems. You know, powered up PC, powered up PS3, powered up the 360 like I do every morning. And there you go. Three red rings. It was brown. I thought it was like the low voltage, you know, brownout rings, which I've gotten many, many times.
Yeah.
You know, because we had the bad weather this morning. But it wasn't it. It's totally dead. It's not the power brick problem because, you know, the fans will power up, the tray opens and closes. It's, you know, there were some signs earlier in the week, a little bit of, it was like three times in the last week when my system's locked up, just sitting at the, like the main blade. So,
well, not to say that there's a best part to things like that happening, especially where you got to spend more money on the system, but of course they dropped the price on the Elites. They've dropped the price on those.
I'm not spending money on them.
Yeah.
Send it in the mail and they're going to fix it.
Exactly. Of course you're going to do that.
If this was like 8 months ago, it would have been a problem because if I just gotten a PS3 and there like wasn't quite as much going on the PS3 and I didn't have a PC at the time. Right now, I got a PC and right after this happened, I better go edit my GameCube, and I went to look at it and I was like, all right, take off all this Xbox stuff. And I've got a lot of coming soon stuff in my GameCube, very little current things, and I realized, and this I suppose is actually really great. I hadn't paid much attention in the past several months, but particularly looking at the coming soon stuff, there was very, very little I stand to lose out on not having the 360. So much stuff has gone multi-platform with like completely consistent release dates between the two platforms. Like that's really, really good. The PS3 is obviously holding as many titles altogether, and possibly, I didn't do a complete inventory of it, but I think the PS3 might be edging out with more exclusives in the holiday season.
What, this year?
Yeah.
I have to check. I don't know.
I mean, it was a handful. There were three, four things that I was like, oh yeah, that's definitely a PS3 thing. And then on the Xbox side, there was like Fable 2 and
that's true.
Stuff like that. So at the very least, it matched up. So I was like, well, this is actually not that bad. Everything that I wanted to play on the console, again, other than Fable 2, and I hopefully have my box back before then.
Well, during the mini show that we did, the little extra content episode we did last week, we were talking about the game releases, and you kind of came to that conclusion. You're like, you know, I'm really only looking forward to Fable 2, you know.
Yeah.
Dead Space, that's PC, or you could play it on the PS3.
Yeah, I can play it on the PS3, which doesn't bother me at all. Force Unleashed, may as well play it on the PS3 as on the Xbox. Actually, what I'm really missing... the thing that upsets me the most is Duke.
Yeah.
Duke 3D was coming next month at some point.
Yes,
and
it is.
Like, man, well, that's actually going to be a lot of fun, and I'm really sad I'm going to be missing out on that. So
yeah.
That's one of those things that it's like,
It'd be easy to pick up at any point and be like, hey, we should play some freaking Duke.
No, I know, but it's also the kind of thing that there's a great wave of nostalgia that'll wash over the community the day it's released.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And over the course of, like, maybe 2 weeks, everyone will get in on it and play a number of things, and then it'll be gone. Like, that's the perfect expression of something that everybody will, at least in terms of the multiplayer, will get in on and enjoy immensely. They'll binge, and then they'll go somewhere else. And that's perfectly understandable. I kind of think that's what it's there for. So I may pick it up for my own gratification later on, but I'm not worried about it. We don't get to finish Braid. Dana's got vacation time coming up, and she was looking forward to shooting some more guys in Battlefield. So yeah. I've indicated that she could start over completely on the PS3.
I finally got that at Gamefly, by the way. Battlefield.
Oh, good for
bad
you.
Bad company.
It's bad. We're not going to be playing together.
I'm not going to be able to play it.
Sorry.
I'm not, well, with you, and I'm not going to be able to play it anyway, because, you know, I'm leaving.
Right.
Headed to pack. Won't be able to play Castle Crashers this week either. So, other than whatever they've got over at Penny Arcade, at PAX. But so yeah, there's it's always, man, it always sucks when you get a red ring. I mean, it's
like I said, it could have sucked a lot worse.
Yeah,
it could have been really, really bad.
True.
Not only do I have the PC now, but there's an enormous number of very solid titles that I was intending to play on the PC anyway. I was going to pick up Mercs 2 for the 360 because, you know, hey, like, I didn't really care a whole lot until I paid attention to some of what was happening in co-op. But that's also available on PC, so I could definitely go that direction. I will probably get off the fence and get in on day one Warhammer to console myself.
Yeah, well, see, so, now you don't have it. You've got to make yourself feel better.
That's what Ghost Bear in the chat room. Don't worry, Fishbang. Warhammer comes out on the 18th.
Yeah.
So.
I'm split. I'm sort of turned all about regarding that game. I can't find any of the right. Like, I can't find any information about it online, even after the NDA broke, about, like, the things that really concern me. I honestly believe it's possible to make an amazingly fun MMO that satisfies for the first little bit, but then sort of falls apart toward the rear end of the game, where the staying power really has to exist. And, you know, and it's gonna have to work really hard to win out over even the current state of WoW for me. So I don't know, but I will definitely check that out. But, you know, there's Fallout, Far Cry 2.
Yeah.
Those things were PC already anyway. So I'm not hurting. I'm not left out in the cold. You know, I'm not in desperation to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it stinks. I mean, but it's a first day elite, so it doesn't.
It was, yeah.
It hasn't benefited from any of the extra fancy, you know, the things they did where they built the system correctly.
Yeah.
Long after mine. So whatever, it's perfectly fine. It's
cool.
It's still dreaded nonetheless, but what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I went, you know, I didn't have warranty on mine. That's why I went out and bought another one, because Jeremy had done what he did to mine.
Right, a little jiggery-pokery around. And
to kind of save it. And so it lasted me another good year, you know?
Fine.
And then time to get a new one, which I could upgrade then, or I say upgrade, but get one that's got a more reliable rate of, you know, functioning. But yeah, so, and it's been doing fine so far. Runs really quiet. I got an email from Track Zero here. He wanted me to make sure that I mention Quest for Glory 2, the remake, by AGD Interactive. It was released today. It's a free download of a major classic adventure game. Everyone should be sure to grab it and give it a try. He says he's been watching this project for about the last 7 years. It's the development team previously released King's Quest 1 and 2, who worked on this. Yeah. So he wanted to remind everybody to do that. And Drew helps us out immensely with the show in both donations and content. In fact, Drew should give us a call and tell us what he saw over at X08 that he went to last week. But, yeah, so just wanted to mention that. What did you even play? Anything, Dennis?
Mostly just playing
Lost Odyssey,
Lost
right?
Odyssey.
I saw you on playing Lost Odyssey.
Yeah, just keep going through that.
I saw you get on, and I was going to check, but there's a troll, and you know, like,
you were a bit busy.
I was a bit busy.
Open up that blade.
There's a troll.
I really enjoy that. That's a fun game.
That's Mintana.
I didn't expect to, like, for whatever reason, when I was playing the demo of Two Human, the skill tree never clicked for me. The equip, I never even got to the equipment screen. I didn't even know really what I was doing, but you know, after reading the thread about it and about the demo itself, once I picked up the game, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go through this a little bit more. I'm going to pay more attention to what I'm doing. It's not just running through grabbing things and then just keep going. No, I got stuff I can do. And then that's when it really started to kick in with just getting these massive swords.
You know,
the hammers and whatever else that comes with the thing. So
it's just so over the top. That's why I love it.
It is. And then I started using it. It is so much fun when your guy is at one end of the room, smacks one of those things in the head, and then does this long dash around the other side just in time to smack another guy, and then just goes back and forth. Now, when he's in close combat, it's not really fun, but when you're just darting back and forth,
yeah,
that's so much fun. So, I've really had a lot of fun with it.
And the farther on that you get, the more and more close combat becomes like the instant way to death. You really need to focus on moving.
You said you thought it was a much better game as co-op. You still stand by that? I mean, is it still? I'm not saying that co-op's bad, but
because I just finished the last single player mission today. And man, I tell you what, though, if you're gonna do the single player, do it before your character hits 50. Because 50 is a whole new ball game. Mm-hmm. When you hit 50, everything is much harder. So, do it before you hit 50 if you're going to do it. There's some stuff that is exclusive to the single player that you just would never see. Going through, because all the cutscenes and stuff don't play for you in co-op.
Yeah. No, that's right. You're right.
So
yeah.
You don't have any idea what's going on. You're like, I'm fighting this guy, and he's got a name, and I don't know, whatever. He's just, whatever, I'm going to kill him because he's there. And then when you go back and once you start playing through single player, you go, oh, now I know why I'm fighting this guy. I understand. And I think this very much is the introduction to a trilogy. I don't think it's the first part in a trilogy. I think it's the introduction to a trilogy. Like, they should have spent more time, or I should say, they should have spent less time introducing concepts. It really did feel like the prologue before they get to any real story. It jumped around a little bit.
But, I've always been nervous when they've announced, you know, okay, this is the first in a trilogy.
When you get to the very end of the final cutscene, I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just saying, when you get to the end of the cutscene, you're like, I want another game now. I want it right now. Because you're like, I see what he did here.
You know what? I felt the same way after playing Rainbow Six Vegas 2, but not in that same sense.
Yeah, well,
sense.
See, this was like, I see what you did there kind of moment. Mm. It was very much, here's a little, like, this is what we're doing, this is what we're going to do. Oh, by the way, the serious part of the story is not here yet. It's a very framework, background kind of setup that they did. It was done pretty well. It wasn't the best storytelling example I've ever seen, but it was interesting, and I think the sci-fi Norse thing helped out a lot. If you have a decent understanding, like, read a wiki article on Norse mythology before you play single player, and it will be a much more gratifying experience.
Yeah?
Knowing, because seeing the characters there, I mean, they're all taken from Norse mythology.
Yeah.
And so the interactions and the relations they have seem... They don't really explain them. They don't go into much detail. There should have been some kind of like lore thing in the menu somewhere as a special or something that you could go through and read. Because if you know that, you're going to get a slightly better experience out of it. Just because the interactions between the characters make a little more sense that way. So, you know, read it. Just a cursory overview on Norse mythology, I think, will help a little bit. Yeah. Because everything kind of ties in, and they did a really good job converting it all to sci-fi. So, it's very, very interesting. A lot of
cool. I've been way too busy today, basically. But was there any news today? I'm sure there was, but I was so busy today that I had no chance to look over my feeds to know really what was going on today. But, or is there anything that's been happening you guys want to talk about? Guess not.
I don't know.
There
well,
we go.
I played a lot of Two Human. That's really...
I know, I did too.
You know, like, I mean, but no, seriously, it's... I mean, the Halo Wars box art came out today.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, man, this is made news post? The Halo Wars box art? Are we serious?
It's got Halo
box
on it,
art man. Makes news post?
Well, that's worthy if it's the Left 4 Dead box art.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see that for that's good. That's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Four fingers, but not a left hand?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going on there? There's obviously some meaning behind this decision.
Yeah.
No, they know what to do.
I mean,
and that is, oh God, that is another one.
That got pushed back.
It did a little bit. Yeah.
November 20th. That's fine, but I don't remember what was it.
November 4th, I think.
It was a November 4th because remember we read that 1 week last week on that show. We read it was like Dead Space, Far Cry 2. God, what was the next? Fallout 3. All in like that one little week there, you know, it all hits. So it's a big release schedule this year, and it's again we go back to that. How we look back at last year and we're thinking, okay, we got Halo 3 coming out, and we got Assassin's Creed, we got Rock Band, we got Uncharted was out, and all this stuff. We're like, man, how are they going to top this next year? I know they got Gears 2, but that's about it. Well, now you got Little Big Planet, you got Resistance 2, Killzone 2. Well, those are three Sony exclusives right there.
SOCOM
as well, yeah.
I just have not, man. I can't get into the SOCOM games.
I've never played.
This, I think, is the first time that the SOCOM, that they're going to at least attempt to deliver a SOCOM experience that's where I want it to be. Like, up to par, up to current on, like, cornerstone technology of this generation, not on a handheld, not on last-gen tech or anything like that, and on systems that are fully capable of dealing with the demands of first third-person shooters. Like, I think a lot of those things fared very poorly on the previous generation of console hardware. I think they do fine now, so.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's just, I don't know.
Regardless of I don't know or however you might feel, what we're actually looking at is a situation where the PS3 is delivering in ways that people didn't mind the Xbox delivering. We got a bunch of exclusive shooters that have a decent pedigree of sorts, and that was working really well for that system. The PS3 is actually doing that now. So,
which, I mean, it's good for them. It's good.
It's not just good for them. It's good for people who play games.
Yeah, well, right.
So,
and, you know, and it seems like it's a good turn for Sony's whole presentation of their system.
Well, like, I mean, if you didn't have either one of those consoles right now, if you didn't have an embedded friends base, like if you didn't have this thing that you were already established on one way or the other, if you didn't have a preference or a bias from the previous generation, if you were simply squarely looking at the two consoles, I am beginning to think you would have a difficult time making the choice. Independent of brand loyalty, independent of your experience with either of the two companies. Regardless of Sony's inability to deliver, like, at the beginning of this generation, or Microsoft's hardware failure rate, independent of all these things, just simply looking at what the two of them present and the theoretical futures for both of them, I think it's safe to say finally, like, a measured, reasoned decision could honestly go either way. Instead of saying, well, I just, you know, I like the hardware better, even though they have, you know, crap for games lineup.
Yeah.
On the Sony end, it's just not true. Obviously, I still think that the community development features are stronger on the 360. You know, whatever. Little things. It comes with a headset, you know. Like, I know that's an annoying thing, but, like, I don't even have a Bluetooth headset. And every time I think about getting a Bluetooth headset, I think about spending essentially the amount of money I would spend on a game.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, ratty, cheesy, like, flimsy crackerjack headsets that come with the Microsoft system. Who doesn't have four of them?
Yeah.
Seriously. And, like, yeah, they stink, but, you know, the simple act of delivering one in the box.
Any box they can shove
one in, as a matter of fact.
You get a headset with everything.
Well, it's representative of their insistence that
we're going
to give you every single tool. If you are not involved in some aspect of this community, it is because of your choice, not because we put anything between you and that community. Some of those things, some of those barriers or gulfs, whichever they may be, still exist on the PS3 side of things. But honestly, like, it didn't occur to me today until I was switching things out of my
pure game lineup. Yeah,
I was just like, well, okay, like, I've got all these things listed in the coming soon stuff listed on my game queue. Switch them to PS3, and I felt like, I was like, man, it's actually, this is fine, and they're not suffering, you know, a ridiculous stranglehold problem that they were having. Like, where they come out fully a month after the Xbox version for essentially no reason whatsoever, and therefore nobody buys it and plays it, and therefore it cannot squarely be brought to bear against the 360 as a reason to own a PS3.
That used to be the story every week. It was like, okay, they're both releasing. Oops, wait, Sony's been pushed back a couple of weeks because of for whatever reason. But you'd always find delays. It was hard. Apparently, this fall they've fixed that problem.
There's little to no detectable Three Stooges behavior out of Sony in the past like 9 months.
Good way to put it.
Well, I mean, it's true. Like, there's still some stuff that isn't right. I still think that they've been like that little Big Planet's been on simmer a little bit too long. Like, you know, I've been smelling what they're cooking for a while, and it's like, okay, I get it. Like, you're making that back there. Deliver it, you know, things like that. And Home, although, saw that, right? Home is
officially coming out.
100% will be coming out in 2008, before the end of this calendar year.
Yes.
It was an interesting statement. There was zero room for
misinterpretation.
Revisionist history. They can't go back and reinterpret their own statement. 100% chance this calendar year. That's it. So before the 31st of December, you know, we will have
30th, it'll hit.
Whatever.
Merry Christmas.
I had already gotten to the point where I wasn't even really expecting it
ever
in the fourth quarter at all. So
yeah,
I think that's actually a really good thing. So if you, the simple act of experiencing a red ring forced me to sort of look at the situation between the two consoles a little more clearly for those times when I definitely need to walk away from the PC and like just have a very console centric itch. Well, you know, it does. Yeah, it happens often enough. So yeah, I thought it was very interesting. It was kind of clarity that I didn't necessarily expect. So,
well, what are we going to be playing? You know, I hate to do the weekend thing because I know what me and Daniel here are going to be doing. And Jeremy, Jeremy isn't with us tonight. He is in Tennessee, I believe. But he will be at PAX this year as well. So he'll be doing that. Zilla Dane in the booth just gave me the finger. I don't know why. So turn on your mic.
Well, you're all like, well, I'm going to PAX, so I don't need that. Whatever. You're going to be in Seattle.
Asking me about, you were mouthing something when I was talking to Robert about Top Hot donuts.
They're good.
Okay.
They're not Voodoo donuts.
They're not, but Voodoo's 3 hours away. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
They're sold at Starbucks.
The Top Hot
ones,
you can
get them.
Like, oh.
Yeah, you can get them kind of wherever.
Check it out.
Okay. Well, never mind then. All right, so still. Donuts, always good.
That's true. I'm a big fan.
So, yes, definitely. But, so, me and you're going to be at PAX. Dennis, what are you going to be doing this weekend?
Lost Odyssey, Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just keep plugging away at it.
All right.
Weekend's about the only time I have free nowadays.
Yeah, well, yeah. I didn't have a free weekend this weekend. It was bad. James, you'll be playing, obviously, PS3 or PC stuff.
Yeah, PS3 and some WoW.
You're still doing WoW. Anything new in the PC that you've latched on to? I mean,
Not current stuff.
Outside of the MMOs, have you played anything else on the PC?
Very little. I've gone back through some of my old stuff, playing Fear. A little bit of Stalker when I can. Very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
In Stalker, but I'm also kind of thinking of waiting until the standalone X-Pac thing comes out, because a lot of the graphical updates that they're doing and that will apply to the base game as well, and I'm real, real bad about that. I get in the game and I realize that what I'm experiencing now I could be experiencing in the glory of higher texture resolution, so.
Always good.
I'm really, really terrible about those things, but no, I'm going to keep plugging away on my little cheapo invite a friend 3x XP boost that I get.
Go for
and
it.
And get yelled at like every 35 minutes for being a botter, but whatever.
Thanks, Shaman.
Slash follow is not a cheat. I'm just saying.
Thanks, Shaman.
Well, that is going to do it for this episode of Evil Avatar Radio. Hope you guys enjoyed it. It is PAX week. We're going to be headed out to PAX here. We're going to try and do a show out of PAX. There will be no show Monday because I don't get in until like 10:30 that night. There won't be a show on Monday. But
we'll have to do something a little bit beefier midweek then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's fine. That's fine, because we'll have PAX to talk about. We're going to try and do a show while we're out at PAX, just sitting around the EVAV lounge and talking to the 50 or so people who are going to be from Evil Avatar there, get them on a show. So That is going to do it for this episode.
Do a show with me totally inebriated. That would always be entertaining.
There probably will be a lot of people, not just yourself.
Oh, I know, but yeah, you know, if you record me, that's even better.
Oh, yes, it will.
And incriminate.
But that'll do it for us. Want to thank Dennis Dyack for being on the show. Want to thank Robert Koo for being on the show and everybody else for listening to the show tonight. We will be back sometime next week with more Evil Avatar Radio here on 1170 WACV. Good night.